Away we go. So looking at just some quick review as we look at page 216, he brings us to Ephesians 5, and might not be a bad idea just to look quickly at Ephesians 5 just as a quick review. I'm going to turn to that in just a minute here. And it's Ephesians 5, 25 through 27. He's making that connection between Genesis and the New Testament scripture in Ephesians. And so Ephesians 5, 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." It's one of those marriage counseling scriptures. "That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." You could have a whole study on just that. How do we cleanse ourselves? How does the church get cleansed? Through the word. Not through CNN, not through MSNBC, not through Fox. It's through the word. "That he might present it to himself a glorious church." So the purpose of Christ's sacrifice for the church was that it would be glorious, with not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, without blemish. And he stops there. And so what Nee is saying is, the purpose of the church, even though we know the church is flawed because we're flawed people, he's saying the original plan for the church was the same as the original plan that God had for us. And that is that, let me admit some folk here. Lee's coming. Hey. And that is that, we were destined to be, bringing him glory and to be a church without spot or wrinkle. One of the neat things that Nee talks about is, oft times we call the church, hey, the church is sinners saved by grace. And that's true. And so we get stuck right there at the church is a bunch of sinners saved by grace. But what we miss is there's more beyond that, because redemption gets us back on the original plan. And so the whole theme that he's talking about here is there's more. There's more. There's more beyond this. There is more. Want to welcome Lee. Hey, good to see you again, brother. We already prayed for you. Great to see you. God bless you. Everybody wave at Lee. Ken, we already prayed for you, praying that we ain't, no operation on the back and things like that. So we already lifted all that up. So good to see you guys.
Thank you.
So let's pick up as I share my screen. Okay. I'm looking for my, this is amazing. I can't find my file real quick. Hold on just a minute. Let me get it. All right. There it is there. So there we go. Okay. It wasn't showing up for some reason. All right. It's nice to be able to see my screen. And so we pick up at around, he gives the example of Adam. So let's pick up at around 216, which is where we left off. And I like this that I highlighted in green. Oh, got a couple more. Mac and Cammy are coming. All right. So picking up with 216, I like what he's got. He says we must always view redemption as an interruption, an emergence measure made necessary by a catastrophic break in the straight line of the purpose of God. So he tied back, just quick review, he ties back Genesis to Ephesians, because in Genesis, God had a plan for us, and that plan was that we would bring him glory. And he says redemption was needed to get us back on track with the plan. And what a lot of us have done as Christians is we've got the redemption thing because we need to get back in right alignment with God, and we got the redemption thing, but we don't go any further. And we think that this walk in Christ is just us being redeemed and staying redeemed, but we don't go further. It works real nice with the feast out of Leviticus 23, because we know when we get to feast number 4 and the outpouring or baptism of the Holy Spirit, that we've got feast 5, 6, and 7, which takes us further in relationship with God and in achieving his best in that, you know, in the second coming of Christ and the kingdom being restored and peace and that kind of heavenly peace. So we know that there's more beyond that when we look at the feast. But then what does that look like? And so Nee kind of shows you how that looks and what we're supposed to be pursuing here. And so what he says, and I love this, so I highlighted it in green, redemption is big enough. It is needed. It's the first several steps for us to get back in right relationship with God. It's wonderful enough to occupy a very large place in our vision. And so and redemption is so important that we have to pick up our cross daily, because picking up the cross and the resurrection and being filled by the Spirit, that's part of that redemptive process, that first phase. But Nee is saying, but we miss it when we think that redemption is the end goal. And what he says here is, but God is saying that we should not make redemption to be everything. It is only the first part of something that's even more important for us to achieve. It's as though man were created to be redeemed. And so I think I used the example last week where, you know, he didn't lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, walking through these phases of the feast and what Nee's talking about, to lead them in the wilderness. The whole purpose of them leaving Egypt was to bring them into the promised land, to the fulfillment of what God had for them. And Nee is saying, if you leave Egypt and you get stuck in the wilderness, and you're just enjoying your wilderness living, that's not God's best, and that's not the plan. The plan is to get you back on track and all the way in. So don't get stuck on just being redeemed. And that also means that we don't settle for being fallen Christians who continue to live off 1 John 1:9 and just keep repenting. And we can be blemish free, I guess. So he goes on, and I think this is around page 216, we're getting to 217. He says, we are restored. So as I'm reading through this and going through some of the highlights, just remember this idea. It's to go further. It's to go to the next level. What's she saying to me, Al? Did Juanita ask the question?
No, that wasn't me.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if somebody has a question, just jump in there. All right. And so the feast show us how to get to the next level as individuals, but now Nee's going to go how we can get to the next level as a church. So let's keep moving here. He says, we are restored, but when it is accomplished, there yet remains a work to be done to bring us into possession of that which Adam never possessed. And so what Nee's going to be, especially in the next chapter, he's going to be talking about Adam had redemption. Adam had a start. But Adam never really possessed what we have right now, and that is because he never took from the tree of life. So next week when we start the next chapter, he really focuses on what that meant and the impact of him taking from the tree of knowledge rather than from the tree of life. And so Adam never really experienced what God really wanted for him in that fellowship and in that relationship. Because he missed out on that. But we have that fellowship with Christ now when we go through those steps. So that's what he's talking about by bringing us into a possession that Adam never really possessed. For God has never forsaken the purpose which is represented in that straight line. That straight line purpose was to get them from Egypt all the way into the promised land. What is the straight line purpose that God has for us? It's to take us all the way into that level 7 fellowship with him, and then to be able to experience that in all aspects of our life, in our relationships, in our marriages, in our parenting, on our jobs, is that level 7 completion where God takes us all the way in and we're truly led by the Spirit and not by the flesh. And so part of that is Nee's going to start talking about what it really means to walk and be led by the Spirit. All right. He talks about Adam was not slain, but only put to sleep. And so when he goes back to Genesis chapter 2, he's talking about Adam is that representation of what God originally wanted to do before sin came in. And he takes Adam's sleeping. All right, let me get Mac in here. He takes Adam sleeping as a rapture or a sleep that produces more. Because in that sleep, Eve is created, and so something addition or whatever is created. And so he uses that as symbolism to show how when Christ died, he was risen so that there would be more. And that's kind of what he says here at the last highlight. God will have many sons. One grain of wheat has died, and many grains will spring up. So then he starts talking about this one living sacrifice, and that takes us over to page 218 in the book. And again, he talks about, and I love the highlight here, redemption leads us back into God's original line of purpose. So the theme here is, don't miss the fact that we have redemption. Redemption, the purpose of redemption is to get us back on track with what God really wants to do with us.
Managing your diabetes can be hard.
All right, so somebody's got some. Let me try to mute whoever that is. All right. Hey, everybody, welcome Mac, because Mac is back.
Hey,
Matt. All right. So I muted Matt because I think his TV was on. So, all right. So here we go. Let me pick up again. So if you want to speak, just unmute your mic and stop me. Let's turn to Romans 8:14. And Matt said hi.
Can't see Matt.
I see he's joined us. So Romans 8:14, it reads, "For as many are as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Mac, if you're trying to talk to us, you got your TV on hot.
Yeah, I got everything on, but
there you go.
I don't
know how to focus in. All
right. Can y'all see me?
We can't see you, but we can hear you now.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out how to get where I can see you guys.
All right. Well, it's great to hear your voice, brother. And we've already prayed for you.
Thank you.
Mac, click start video.
All right, so while Mac's working on that, and I accidentally muted him again, I didn't mean to. All right, so 8:14, he talks about being led by the Spirit of God.
Yeah, well, restoration and peculiar response aren't.
And that being led by the Spirit of God is important to us. I like what he says here when he talks about the first eight chapters of Romans, and he gives a quick summary. And this is over on 219. It's almost like the process or the sequence that we're using. First, our sins are forgiven. It's kind of going through the summary of Romans, those chapters. So he talks about chapter 5 in Romans. Then we're dead to Christ. We're dead with Christ, not dead to Christ. We're dead with Christ. And so our sins are forgiven. Our sins are buried. That's that redemption and that repentance piece, because we're dead with Christ. That's that crucifixion, picking up our cross. And we are by nature utterly helpless. That's the repentance where we bury the old person. And therefore, we rely on the indwelling Spirit. And so that's that baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're relying on the Spirit. And then he talks about after this, and as a consequence of it, we are one body in Christ. And so he gets ready to talk about Romans 12. So if you want to go to Romans 12, you can start looking at that. And he says Romans 12 gives us instructions for our life and our walk. He also makes reference in chapter 6, 13 or whatever. So these are just some chapters that I looked at, some of the things that he references. I'm going to read Romans 12, 1 through 3 and just keep pressing forward. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the very least that we can do. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transferred by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So even as believers, we want to try to get to that place where we're in the perfect will of God. All right. I think I want to stop right there, because then he's going to start talking about the body of believers. He starts talking about this whole body of believers not being independent. And I like what he says over on page 220, where he says, we need never feel our contribution is not needed, for it contributes to the service. All right. And we need to realize God's eternal purpose in Christ Jesus. So he starts talking about, we're not in isolation, but we're part of the body. And that goes a little bit further in Romans 12, because then he starts talking about the bodies, like in verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. So what he talks about here, and I highlighted it, alone in isolation, man can never fulfill God's purpose. It requires a complete body to attain to the stature of Christ and display his glory. And then he makes a reference to Romans 12, 3 and 6. He says individual Christians are not the body, but are members of the body. And in a human body, all members have not the same office. So it goes a little further. An all too common attitude to the things of the Lord is that what I know, and what I don't know, and I can do quite well without. But in Christ, the things we do not know, others do. And we may know them and enter into the enjoyment of them through others. He goes further. It is a vital factor in the life of God's people. We cannot get along without one another.
Amen.
Prayer together brings in the help of the body. And then he makes mention to Matthew 8, 19 and 20. All right. Trusting in the Lord by myself may not be enough. I must trust him with others. I must learn to pray our Father, not my Father, our Father, on the basis of the oneness of the body. Alone, I cannot serve the Lord effectively. And his gifts are given to us for work that builds up the body. So I'll pause there for a minute and figure out where we are. I think we're on page 221. Page 222. So we're getting toward the end of the chapter. I think we'll be able to finish this chapter today. And we are on page 222. And this is important, especially for guys, because guys are individuals. We are soloists. We don't think we need help from anybody. I remember going into the grocery store. I probably told this story before, going into the store with my daughter looking for something in particular. And we walked around, and she said, do you know where it is? I said, no, but we will find it. She said, do you think we should ask somebody? I said, oh, heavens, God, no, bit, no. We will keep on searching and looking for this thing on our own. This will be our quest. And eventually we did find him, and she said, you know, we could have asked that person, we could have got to this thing a whole lot quicker. I know, but the conquest of doing it on our own and conquering that hill on our own. So we can see that in the feast when we get to level 5 and we say, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy, and we want to be merciful for others. So we can see it in the feast on how we need to expand and open up to others or whatever. But I like what Nia is saying here. Sometimes we might miss this. We can get so spiritually mature and we can have so much of God that we miss the fact that now God wants us to take those talents and the spirit that we have and share that with others. And that's how we actually get to where God wants us to be. Until we start to be able to interact with others, that's it. All right. Now, it's important that we interact with God first before we start interacting with others, because you don't want the old flesh and the old attitudes and you know, so you know how difficult it is dealing with people. Just go on Facebook. But when we're right with God, then we can be right with each other. And that's one of the things that I've had to learn even in teaching this class, because I get so caught up in the teaching and the word and the learning or whatever. I had to have people around me that were like, hey, look, you know, we're teaching a good word here, but don't forget, we got people who are hurting. We got people who need the fellowship, and you definitely don't want me cooking the food. So we need to, so it's important for us, and we can't get along without one another. I'm just going to stop and see if anybody has anything they want to share with that or whatever. And here's the other thing that he says is most important. Don't discount what you do. You know, I love Ken. I hadn't heard from Ken in a week or two. I contacted Ken, and Ken had already contacted Mac. And so it just kind of lets me know how to pray. A simple phone call to somebody, leaving a text message. The fact that we're all here today, that's going to be encouraging. And God poured his Holy Spirit out on all of us. And so we all have something that's important that we bring to the kingdom.
Chuck, I'll add that a lot of times for me, I'm a quest person where I'm determined I'm going to do it, find it, I'll take care of it, and I forget that I am taking away someone else's ability to use it yet.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to be better about that, but it's hard sometimes.
Yeah, because you don't want to be dependent. And here's one thing that I have to be really, really careful of. I think you kind of said it here. Sometimes when I need help, I don't want to be an inconvenience to somebody else. And I'm just going to try to do this so I don't want to be an inconvenience. Well, sometimes, like Al, hey, I'll just go and order the Bibles off Amazon. I don't want to be an inconvenience to anybody. I don't want to bother Al. Well, I preclude Al from being a part of helping that body, because I become a ministry opportunity, and I don't have a problem being a ministry opportunity if I have, you know, people around me that can sow into my life and sow into the ministry and those types of things. We are so much better when we are together than when we're separate. That's all I can tell you. I mean, we're just so much better. And we can bring so many other people into the kingdom just by combining our resources and being kind and dealing with others rather than just keeping Christ to ourselves. We were never designed, the plan was never to keep Christ to just ourselves. Let your light so shine that, you know, we may, you know, they may see God and glorify him. And that's what I think Nia is talking about when he says, Eve came before the fall, because God's plan was, it's not good that man should be alone. I will give him a helpmate. That was God's plan from the original, even before the fall. So even before the fall, even before sin came into our lives and we got duped by the enemy, it was always God's plan that there would be a community or a cooperation of believers that would bring him glory. All right. So we can't be soloists. All right, so he goes on a little bit further, and this is just some good stuff here. This is over on page 223. And this is a little bit of a new revelation for me, I think. As I go on with the Lord, I soon discover not only that the problem of sin and my natural strength has to be dealt with, but that there is also a further problem created by my individual life. that is sufficient in itself and does not recognize its need for an union with the body. And let me just do something real quick here I need to look at. Okay. The life that is sufficient in itself and does not recognize its need for union in the body. I may have got over the problems of sin and flesh and yet still be confirmed individualist. So that's kind of interesting. I want holiness and victory and fruitfulness for myself personally and apart, and that's good, albeit from the purest motives. But such an attitude ignores the body and so cannot provide God with satisfaction or that full satisfaction. He must deal with me, therefore, in this matter also, or I shall remain in conflict with his ends. That is powerful. I mean, what he's saying is, and that's why he keeps saying, God's plan and purpose for us is to move beyond redemption. Redemption, that piece, gets us back in right alignment with God. And when we get back in right alignment with God through redemption, and we're back on the original track, all right, then that becomes a problem if we don't press forward with what the rest of that plan is, and we get stuck right there. Hey, I got my salvation. I got my fire insurance. I'm good. Everybody else, you just kind of fend for yourself. In order to really, you know, and Al, you know this from working with the Gideons and those types of things, you know, that's part of us pushing forward with God's original plan that we be part of a body and not isolationist. And so I never saw my introversion, because I'm an introvert, I never saw that as being sin. Because in and of itself, it's not sin. But when it gets in the way of God's plan, then I have to deal with that. So what Watchman Nee has opened up here is there's this whole thing, because we focus on the sin and we focus on the lust and we focus on, you know, being led by the Spirit. But now we're taking a little bit of ground at a time and we're getting more victory, because now he's expanding this thing to something much larger. And he's saying, hey, it's more. Hey, I'm glad we dealt with the sin. Got it. Great. I'm glad we're dealing with the Holy Spirit. Great. Now, let's deal with the next thing that the Spirit starts to reveal to us. What about your individual life? What about your isolation? Doesn't mean anything. He's not talking about your quiet time. My quiet time is almost part of my picking up my cross and that redemption piece where it's like, hey, before I get ready to deal with Al, I need some quiet time. You know, I need to make sure that I'm right with the Lord, because who knows what's going to come out of Al's mouth, you know, especially when he starts reading scriptures from that funny Bible. So I need to have, and Juanita's probably the same way, we need to have that quiet time with the Lord before we deal with Al by 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yes, you do.
All right, you got an amen. All right, but once you've had that quiet time and that isolation time with the Lord, now it's time for you to move forward according to his plan and be able to interact with others and not be isolated. And so I never saw my introversion as being something that's contrary to what God wants me to do. I think about being an isolationist, hey, I'm just staying out of trouble. Yeah, yeah, maybe I... Be like John Lewis, get in good trouble. I don't know. All right, somebody's saying something.
Hey, yo, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Mac.
Okay, you know what? That's one of the things that this class has taught me, by not being isolated and being with other Christians for support.
Yes.
I had to learn that. I learned it from this class. That's why I'm so thankful for this class.
Praise God. And because I'm an isolationist, I need the class, because I know what I need to be doing, but I can't do it in my flesh. I had to be led by the Holy Spirit, and I might need somebody who's more of an extrovert, all right, that can do that, because the class is not Chuck Latham. The class is all of you guys, and some of you guys, I mean, Ken is real good at this. Deb is good at this. Susan is spectacular about this. You guys are reaching out to each other. And you guys are coming back and saying, here's the prayer request, and here's what Mac needs, and here's how I talk to Mac, and here's what Pamela said, and you know, just remember Sandra and those types of things. Because I can get so caught up in the teaching part that I miss the people part. And the teaching without the people, that's just not going to be very effective at all. So all of us play a major role in the body, in us as a body, in us as a class, us as a church, getting to where God wants us to be. So this is just powerful. In fact, when I wake up, I got to be waking up with a mindset that says, today's got to be more than just me and God. Today has to be something about God, give me divine appointments and people to talk to or whatever, so that they see you in me. All right. And so he goes further. Mac, thank you so much for that, man. You got me welling up over here. I think we're actually doing something right.
Hey.
Yes, the cross. Oh, and that's one of the things that you don't want to discount. Well, I don't teach like Chuck or whatever. Nobody asked you to. I don't know the Bible like Roger. Okay, well, you know, study, show yourself approved. That's fine. It's the little things that you do that you do know that you work with that. And that makes all the difference. Don't discount what God has in you and has for you. You got to remember, all of us who have gone through these steps and phases, we've got the power of God inside of us. We have his resurrected life inside of us. And we have the Holy Spirit using us to do great things. And some of those great things might be just as small as, I'm praying for you today. I'm going to call you today. I'm going to text you today. Don't discount that. Amen.
Hey, Chuck.
Yes.
God just gave me a really cool analogy. Do y'all remember the paragraphs that tell a story? They're called Mad Libs, I think, and like it's part of the story and it's a sentence and then it has a line and you ask somebody to just give you a word and they fill in that blank and it's a full paragraph. I don't know. They use them in school a lot with kids, and they'll say, give me a noun, give me a verb, and you fill in the paragraph, and several different people have added words to that paragraph to make the story.
Okay.
And that was just what I just saw in my mind, is that's how this works, is we're telling God's story, and each one of us is filling in a blank in that story for other people to see.
Oh, that's like that. That's good. Yeah.
Google Mad Libs, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I never heard that before. Okay.
School teachers use them a lot with the kids just to make a funny story, but to show them how they can use adjectives, verbs, nouns, those kinds of things to add to the story. And each kid gets the opportunity to add.
Excellent. I like what Nee says here. Thank you for that. The cross must do its work here, reminding me that in Christ I have died to that old life of independence, which I inherited from Adam. And that in resurrection I have become not just an individual believer in Christ, but also a member of his body. So my introvert self is coming from the Adam part. My extrovert self and shining my light is the new me. So when I go back to the cross, I may be picking up my cross not just because of sin, because I may not have screwed up today. I might be picking up my cross because the Holy Spirit, through revelation of the Word, has just shown me, here's an area of your life that I want you to deal with. You couldn't handle it last week, but this week you're at another level. So let's go a little bit further. Take this to the cross now. And take this to the cross now. And take this to the cross now. But it always goes back to the cross when I identify it's something in the old me that still needs to be cleaned out and dealt with. It's the cross that deals with it so I can operate brand new. All right. It will no longer matter which of us does the work. I like that. All that will matter will be that the body grows. So one of my grandsons is here, and he doesn't know how to ride a bike. And he's been here about a month. I take him back tomorrow, and I find out late that he doesn't know how to ride a bike. So we're in the last week that he's here, and he doesn't know how to ride a bike. My wife tells me, after he's been here for about 3 or 4 weeks, she says, you know, I just found out he doesn't know how to ride a bike. I'm like, oh, my God, we got to fix that. The kid's, you know, 12 years old, don't know how to ride a bike. Get out of here, you know. So we deal with the fear because he's afraid. So we work in the driveway or whatever, and this kid ain't getting it, and he wants to give up. I'm like, no, you ain't giving up. And he's scared. Scared of falling. I'm like, no. So long story short, I take him to a bigger parking lot, and we get started. And he still don't know how to ride a bike, but he's learned something from the first time, as frustrating as it was, because trying to teach a kid how to ride a bike in the hot Alabama sun and running behind this bike, throwing him down the hill, that ain't fun.
No wonder he just gets confused.
Hey, I'm just teaching him the way that I got taught. It was just a slope. It wasn't a big downhill. I'll be quiet before I have to go back through my redemption process again. So I'm trying to teach him how to ride a bike the way that I've taught others and the way I was taught and things like that. And I realize it's not working that way with this kid. And so I get him on a little bit of a slope in this great big parking lot, and all of a sudden he starts picking it up. And long story short, he now knows how to ride a bike. So I go back, and I'm feeling pretty good about this because Papa just taught this kid how to ride a bike. But there's so many life lessons in this because, hey, you know, he had fear, and we dealt with the fear, and we dealt with him wanting to give up. And, you know, I told him that I prayed. And so there's so many life lessons. But one of the life lessons that I had to be careful with, Al, just tell me where you think I am. I'm the one, not his dad, not his mom. I'm the one that taught him how to ride a bike.
P-R-I-D-E.
So, but, all right, Al, I'm sorry I even asked you that. So I had to be careful with that because was it just me that taught him how to ride the bike? No. I would never have known that he did not know how to ride a bike if it was not for my wife. I would not have known that he did not ride a bike if the wife had not already done some other things in advance. I would not know. I did not do this by myself. It was a community of people. In fact, guess what? Guess whose bike he learned on? My wife's, because I don't have a bike. So that's where we sometimes miss it, even in our success. And that's where you really have to be careful. And he doesn't mention this, but he's going to mention it in the next chapter. When you are successful, realize that it might have been the body when you get there. That's why when I pray that prayer, you know, the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life and others' life as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, what we need or whatever. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. As I'm dealing with others, Lord God, as I'm in right standing with you and you've forgiven my sins, now let me forgive others and be able to operate as an extrovert with others. And then that next piece. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That is key because it's after we have dealt with others. It's after we've had success. It's after we led somebody to the Lord. It's after we have taught somebody how to ride a bike that we have to be careful not to be led into temptation. And that temptation oftentimes is what Al just said, is the pride. And don't forget that you didn't get this far with just you and the Lord. It's that peace when you do it right, that it's that community. And when I started to look at that, I had to go back and thank my wife. Thank you so much because, you know, there's no jealousy here. I don't want her or anybody else to be jealous. Oh, my God, you know, you know, even with his dad, I was the one that's supposed to teach him how to ride a bike. If you didn't let him come visit Papa, it's a community thing, the body. And most of all, it's a God thing. Because if God had not already touched my heart, I would have given up on this kid long ago. You don't know how to ride a bike by now? Don't worry about it. You need to start learning how to drive a car. All right. He gets to page
24.
Thank you. And I love this page because I love this scripture because we're more than conquerors through him. That right there is just so important. That verse, you know, just so important. Because let me ask the question, are we conquerors? Yes, we are. If we've gotten up to here, we are conquerors. But the question is, God says we can be more than conquerors. So that's what this whole chapter and the next chapter is all about. It's about getting more. It's about falling in line with God's perfect plan. I don't want to just be a conqueror. God's plan is that we be more than conquerors. I don't want to be a good husband. God says I can be a great husband. I don't want to be just a good papa. I want to be a great papa. I don't want to be a good employee. I'm more than a good employee because I operate with a resurrected life inside of me that gives me the power of the Holy Spirit to go beyond what I am right now. I don't want to just be a good friend. I want to use the power of the Holy Spirit to be a great friend. I don't want to be a good teacher. Thinks he knows it all. I want to be a great teacher that takes input from others or whatever, because as a body we train each other through the Holy Spirit. I want to be more than a good teacher. I want to be more than a conqueror. All right. He talks a little bit about Ephesians 5 again. Through grace, we still have this eternal purpose of God in view. We have to really grasp and have that bullseye on what's the greater thing that God wants us to do. And so we got to adjust our vision. Without a vision, the people perish, the Bible says. And so what's the bullseye? And what he says is move the bullseye. The bullseye might have been, you know, redemption and getting right with God. The bullseye is what's God's best and what's his purpose for my life. What's his eternal purpose? To bring him glory. How do I do that? By bringing others in. A grain of wheat falls into the ground. It brings up more seed. He talks about water of life and the cleansing word are needed to prepare the church, now marred by the fall, for presentation to Christ in glory. There are defects and to be remedied and wounds to be healed. Then he says, not having spot, the scars of sin, whose history is now forgotten or wrinkled, the marks of age and of time lost. For all is now made up and all is new and without blemish, so that Satan or demons or men can find no ground for blame in her. I am brand new. I got a past? Yes, I do. I made mistakes? Yes, I did. The blood and redemption took care of that. But you're imperfect. I know I am. We're sinners saved by grace. Yep, absolutely. That was the first phase. We're a church, and the church is full of sinners saved by grace. Absolutely. But the church, when we go to the next phase, is without spot. It's without blemish. How did you get there? Through the washing of the word, through these Bible studies, through these teachings, through the reading, through the revelation of the Holy Spirit. And you cannot tell me that my past will keep me from where God wants me to go to bring him glory. I'm free. Romans 8:37, we, his church, are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And why don't you just go on and turn to Romans 8:37, because it's such a powerful verse. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How can I be more than a conqueror? By just having more of him. How do I get more of him? By taking his resurrected life and having the baptism of the Spirit and letting the Spirit move and guide us. This takes us to chapter 12. And we won't go into it, but I knew we would finish chapter 11. Chapter 12 is going to be very interesting. And he's going to talk about some things that we've already talked about before. And one of them is kind of like the trichotomy of man. He's going to talk about body, soul, and spirit. We know about the body, the flesh, because that was dealt with at redemption, at the cross, the resurrection, the burial of the old, putting on the new. But he's going to give you, well, at least for me, he's going to give you different insight on the soul life. The soul life, that middle part, your brain, your intellect, your knowledge, your experiences, your emotions. And he's going to start dealing with that in a way that I've not seen dealt with before and using the scriptures. And he's going to get that in sequence. But he's going to kind of give you the history of where that soul life came from. And that's where he goes all the way back to Genesis and says, this is what happened when Adam took of the tree of good and evil, or excuse me, the tree of knowledge of good and evil versus the tree of life. And when we go back to Genesis and see the impact of what that was and how our soul was developed greater than our spirit, it will allow us to get back to today and say, do we need to deal with that? And it will show you how to deal with that soulish life. And it really fits very well with the feast, because while we know the feast, well, we ought to know the feast, this is going to show you through scripture how to really go through those steps effectively and what it means to be at level 5 and what it means to be at level 6 and what I need to be looking for in purity at level 6 so that I don't miss it when I'm dealing with others. And so it's just some powerful revelations that he talks about the difference there and focusing on the soul life. So this has been a great day. We have moved from 216 all the way through to the end of the chapter in 226. Anybody have any comments or anything? Look, I can't believe it. We're ending early, Al.
That's a blessing.
Anybody got anything they want to say? Anything that blessed you? Any other examples or thoughts about this? Don't be an introvert. We're a team.
I want to say thanks for y'all prayers. My sister, she's back home now. She's walking with a walker, but she's back home.
So she's out of the rehab. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's a praise. So we'll include that so Lee can include that as a praise. I want to just tell you guys, I'm blessed to be part of a team, and I could not be as far along as a Christian without you guys. And when I see your names here, and when I see your faces when we're in person, it's just an encouragement. Or whatever, and we're a team. I went walking through the neighborhood with the grandkids while they were here, and one of them put the wrong shoes on. I knew they were going to have the wrong shoes on. Trying to do an exercise walk with Chuck Taylors on. So I'm like, yeah, that's not going to work. Feet, that's not going to work for you. And one of the kids was like, well, if she stops to change her shoes, can we just keep going? And I'm like, no, you can't. Because we're a team, and we all got to get there together. And I had to break through some attitudes on that or whatever, but you know, just getting them to understand that no man's island. We got to do this as a team. So I thank you for the team that God has assembled in this class and in this body, and I thank you for encouraging each other. And I thank you for if you don't think you make a difference. Listen to what Max said and how this class has blessed him, especially in this time of need. Well, you've blessed me as well. So thank you for your prayers. If there's nothing else, I'm going to